He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is the May 10th, 5-10-22 edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Well, it's a little happier day on Wall Street today after really just a shellacking yesterday across the board. And maybe that was that big capitulation day that we've been waiting for. Right now we've got the Dow up 360 points, which puts it at 32,604. And I put out a number of about 32,000 as that support level right now. So we're holding at 32,000 on the Dow. The S&P, which I said the ultimate support level is going to be 4,000, it did dip below that yesterday, closed below it. You have to allow a little wiggle room, however, in these numbers. Today, the S&P is up 63 points, 1.6%. It's back above 4,000. It's at 4,054. And the NASDAQ, which I thought 12,000 would hold, well, we're at 11,918. We're up almost 300 points on the beleaguered NASDAQ today. Small caps up 0.75%. Crude oil is at 102.71. It has come down from that 110 level. The 10-year, the all-important 10-year, which got clear up to 3.13, has backed off considerably. With a flight to safety, I suppose, to bonds, 2.97. It's below 3 right now, 2.97. And Bitcoin, which has been bashed, got under 30,000 yesterday, is currently at 31,857. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I've got Barry Kite here with us again, all, as usual, today. And I thought yesterday, Barry, was probably the worst day in the market that I've seen this year so far. That may be good news, okay? The market doesn't really deserve to get bashed like it's been getting bashed here recently. You know, the earnings picture for the market still looks good. And we are at the very, very bottom, you know, with these technical support levels. I said 32,000 on the Dow. It held that yesterday. I said 4,000 on the NASDAQ in my newsletter last Friday. Or 4,000 on the S&P 500. It held that. And the S&P, I thought, would hold 12,000. It didn't hold it, but now it's climbing back towards that 12,000 level. I do see somebody here that kind of agrees with me, Appaloosa's David Tepper, who's a big hedge fund manager. He owns the football team, the Carolina Panthers. He said that he covered his NASDAQ short. Well, we had a big position in PSQ, which was our NASDAQ short, and I covered it maybe, I don't know, was that a week ago? Something like that.
Yeah, the last two different instances, I believe. So
yeah, I cut it in half, and then I covered it completely. I'd have to look at the date, but I feel like Tepper here. I feel like the Dow is going to hold, or the NASDAQ is going to hold. Now you got to give it a little wiggle room one way or another, but I think 12,000. Consider that the NASDAQ was at 16,201, I think, was the high. And yes, a lot of stocks did deserve to get bashed. Consider also that ARK FinTech Fund, ARKF, is now down 70%. That's just unbelievable from its high. Yeah, that stock's like Square and PayPal and Coinbase and the digital currency stocks. But I don't think that a lot of the mainstream NASDAQ stocks, such as Apple and Microsoft and Google and several others of the quality names in the NASDAQ deserved what they got, but they got it anyways. The NASDAQ has fallen clear from 16,058 to yesterday's close of 11,623. And, you know, it was not a good day yesterday for the NASDAQ. Well, Microsoft dropped below $2 trillion for the first time in a long time. Tesla's been getting beat up here recently. But the stocks that finally joined in the sell-off yesterday, which could mean that that was finally a capitulation day, were some of the groups that have held up well this year. Okay, we saw the fertilizer stocks get slammed yesterday. We saw the oil and gas stocks, the energy stocks, get slammed yesterday. And that was their worst day of the year. Which meant that we had our worst day of the year yesterday. But, you know, I just didn't flinch too much. I didn't do all that much. I got rid of a few here and there that I wasn't happy with. And I did add just a little bit to our inverse. I picked on that Russell 2000 a little bit. But, hey, let's hope that this is the bottom. We saw the capitulation yesterday, and we are having a decent rebound. And, you know, I would say yesterday, Barry, even though the indexes wouldn't reflect it, the average stock yesterday, I'm talking about just across the board, when I look at maybe 1,000 stocks yesterday, the average stock was down 5 to 10% yesterday. So,
yeah, and combined just, you know, normal market volatility yesterday with the dollar topping, what I think the dollar was as strong as it's been since 2002, which is bad for all commodities, and we kind of forget about that. As the dollar strengthens, it actually, all else being equal, commodity prices actually go down. And so, you know, the combination of a strong dollar yesterday plus, you know, a sell-off at virtually every level, it was kind of a bit of a perfect storm for a lot of names out there yesterday. I think the best stat I've seen after yesterday was that nine stocks out of the NASDAQ 100 are in green territory for the year as of the end of the day yesterday.
Wow.
So, and the nine that you're thinking of, they're not, you know, most of them do not have anything to do with technology.
Travel, exactly.
So,
well, yeah, 10 of the 11 S&P sectors were lower yesterday. And, you know, even the real estate and consumer discretionary sectors and consumer staple sectors were down yesterday, which gives me some hope there. It gives me some hope that, you know, we've had that final capitulation where just, you know, everybody threw on the towel on everything. Even Marathon Oil, which has been one of the strongest stocks in the market this year, was among one of the weakest performers yesterday in the S&P, as even crude slid. The energy stocks were shell shocks of coming to broader market swoons. So, I think that's just one of those throw the baby out with the bathwater. We're just getting rid of everything. It would seem like that kind of feel yesterday. Devon Energy was down 8%. Buffett's Occidental Petroleum was down 7.5%. ExxonMobil was down 6%, which pretty much gives you an idea of the carnage amongst the individual stocks yesterday. Like I say, I mean, most stocks were down between 5 to 10% yesterday. So it looks better today. That's a good feel. I'll be looking again, see what I can find. There may be some good bargains out there in various areas of the market. You never know till you really dig in. Right now I'm seeing some pretty good for instance, Mosaic fertilizer up 8% today. Nutrients up 6.1% today so far. Devon Energy, big play on natural gas, is up 4.7. CF Industries, another big fertilizer stock, is up 4.6% today. And even the beleaguered Ethereum and Bitcoin are up about 8% here today. So, yeah, you know, there's some risk on coming back. There's some bargain hunting taking place here today. There's a big, huge deal in the drug industry, the biotech industry today. I want to mention that when we come back. And then the tremendous demand from consumers in certain sectors of the economy right now. I just don't see a recession out there anytime soon. This is Bill Gunderson, and Barry Kite will be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, here's what David Tepper had to say. I guess he was on with Jim Cramer yesterday. Billionaire hedge fund manager David Tepper said that he covered his NASDAQ short. Well, I mean, a NASDAQ short, I mean, he could have done it through options, or he could have just done it through the PSQ, which is the inverse NASDAQ ETF. There's also a QID, which is two times short the NASDAQ index. And then there's a triple short NASDAQ. That's the SQQQ. But he did cover, he believes that the sell-off could be concluding. This is what he told CNBC's Jim Cramer. Well, he also said that the central banks have a little bit of a credibility problem. Well, that's, I guess they were misleading us at first about the inflation being transitory, and now saying, yeah, it's really bad. We have to really hike here to get this thing under control. The deal of the day, Pfizer to acquire Biohaven. You know, we might have owned Biohaven at one point in time. It has a headache drug, which could have come in handy yesterday. It's a migraine headache drug, Biohaven BHVN. That thing's up 71% today, 71% today. Pfizer making a big buy here, $11.6 billion. That is a, well, I mean, it's good to see a deal.
Well, and people were wondering what they were going to do, right? We've been talking about, you know, what are they going to do with some of this cash, right, that they've kind of piled up based on, you know, from the vaccine. And so here's that's a pretty significantly large deal that they're putting to work here. Is it, I didn't see the deal. Is it all cash offer? Is it an all cash deal? Or
I think it is. Yeah, $11 billion. The boards of both companies have approved the transaction, and why not? I mean, this is a 72% premium.
Premium, right.
Now, Pfizer already owned quite a bit of Biohaven. So, anyways, I thought there would be some deals with all the vaccine cash. It was just trying to find the right ones, and that is a big deal. Now, okay, here's another macro call, all right? I'm not picking the ones I agree with. These are just, there's three or four out today after yesterday's big sell-off. J.P. Morgan, they get a lot of attention. Kalanovich, who's pretty well-known on the street, he sticks to his guns, and he is still overweight stocks. He says it is not time to throw in the towel on stocks or commodities. Well, you would have thought otherwise by watching the action yesterday. But, you know, a lot of times when you see that big sell-off, even in the strong areas of the market, that does indicate, like, you know, you're getting that big, big capitulation there. Marco Kalanovich says, we stay pro-risk. with overweights in equities and commodities and underweights in bonds and cash, he wrote in a note. The past week's sell-off appears overdone, I would agree with that wholeheartedly, and driven to a large extent by technical flows, fear, and poor market liquidity rather than fundamental developments. And I would also agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, every Friday I go in and look at where we're at with the earnings forecast. And over these last several weeks, while the market's been going down, the earnings forecasts have actually been rising a little bit. I mean, they haven't been going down at all. We talked about this quite a bit yesterday. And, you know, fear is a hard thing. It's hard to know when the fear and the panic selling is going to end. But that's what it's felt like to me, is a lot of fear and panic selling, because it's not in line with the fundamentals of the market. You've got the forward PE of the market now is at 17.34, which is kind of in the long-term average of 16 to 18. It's right in the middle of that. And we started the year at 23. So we've had this big correction in the middle in that in the multiple. And while the multiple's been coming down, the earnings estimates for this year and next year have been drifting higher. Okay, so let's see what else he's got to say. Kalanovich gained attention for several buy-the-dip calls. Well, every buy-the-dip call has been right over the last 12 or 13 years, pretty much. He has remained positive on equities through the sharp drawdowns in the major averages. We see support for our pro-risk stance from COVID reopening, policy easing in China. We're not really seeing that yet, but it's got to happen at some point in time. You know, their whole thing is zero COVID. They're not after herd immunity. I read a little thing from Xi today saying, well, if you're going to get to herd immunity, you're going to kill off a lot of people over 60 years old to get there. But, you know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like this current, you know, mutation of COVID-19, which was back in 2019, Omicron, was that deadly at all. But they continue. The lockdown in Shanghai continues, and I see a lot of car makers are having to slow down their production because of it.
Well, and they're way far behind the curve in terms of herd immunity, right? And so then attempting to get that herd immunity, essentially a lot of the world got herd immunity at the same time, right? And
yes.
Their strict policies to begin with have now, you know, kind of... if they want herd immunity, they're going to have to go through, you know, a rough go of it while everyone else is doing okay, right?
Yep.
Which is a problem.
They should just open up
together or not, right? So
I just can't imagine the people. I guess they don't have much choice. So, anyways, that's and of course Milanovic over at J.P. Morgan. He still says value stocks. They prefer value stocks over growth stocks. Which obviously we do too, but they think that this thing has been way overdone on the selling side. Okay, one of the stars in the market today, SWAV, Shockwave, that's kind of a breakthrough company wherein they treat cardiovascular disease in a whole different way, the calcium that builds up in the arteries and whatnot. They're able to approach it with shock waves instead of the you know, the traditional Roto-Rooter way of doing it. Shockwave is now a $4.8 billion company. It's up 17.3%. Revenue soars 194% year over year, and they raise their fiscal 22 outlook.
Is that kind of the kidney stone thing then, I guess?
Yeah, but now they're using it on the heart, you know, the arteries around the heart where there's calcium buildups. All right, when we come back, we got a lot to talk about in the way of individual stocks. This is Bill Gunnarsson and Barry Keit. It's the Best Stocks Now show. At least there's a few of them today. We'll be right back. Here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, one of these screens in MarketSmith that I like to look at almost on a daily basis is stocks that are up on unusual heavy volume. And, you know, lately there's been like 20 to 30 per day out of a database of about 7,000. Today there's 900 stocks up on unusually high volume. So that's a good sign that it's more of a broad-based advance here today. And I'm seeing some heavy volume in several index funds, which is also a good sign. That means that people are just stepping up to the plate here and saying, you know what? At this level, S&P 4,000, NASDAQ trading under 12,000, we're going to throw some money at the indexes here. And it's also a pretty good variety of indexes. I was looking here. These are some of the indexes getting the heaviest volume today. I saw the ESG. I didn't know there was an ESG index, but I guess there is. G, ESG, that's your environmental, social, and what's the G stand for? Gender, I think. Equality. SNPE, eight times normal volume so far today. The S&P 500, increasing revenue. Stocks that are increasing their revenue at a faster rate than the rest of the rest of the companies, eight times normal volume. The high beta S&P 500 high beta index. Okay, that means the volatile stocks, the momentum stocks. It's up on nine times normal volume. They're all kind of bunched in here together in this. As I look at the volume, Schwab U.S. mid cap. Three times normal volume. There was one other one here. The preferred stock index, which has been beaten up pretty badly too. It's also up on big volume. So that's all a good sign today that there's just some money being thrown in kind of across the board that people, bargain hunters, I guess I would call that. Okay, let's check on Bitcoin. GBTC is what I use as my proxy there. You know, not much volume, not much faith there right now. Can you believe that crypto Bitcoin dropped under 30,000 for a while there yesterday? I don't think Warren Buffett's comments helped any, and Charlie Munger.
Yeah, and most of your, you know, the interesting thing is most of you, if you remember when, you know, we started getting the first ETF, right? You know, Bitcoin ETF, a couple of those things, you know, since they came out, right, have now officially are underwater. So it's kind of that 30,000 level was kind of a big number yesterday because it essentially means that, you know, asset allocators, right, advisors who allocated to that space and finally had a vehicle in which to do it, essentially they're, you know, underwater or haven't done, you know, the investment hasn't done anything, right, since they made that.
Yeah, I read that 40% of all Bitcoin investors right now are underwater from where they bought it. So, but you know, people ask me what I think about it. I say you do with what you want to do with it. I'm not going to be buying it for my clients. You know, it's sitting on a pretty good support level, but I just, you know, I'm like I'm not as old school as Buffett and Munger, not yet, but, you know, I just don't know how you put a value on it. That's the problem I have. I'm kind of a mathematical kind of guy. I have to support things with mathematical facts. I can't do it with Bitcoin. Kathy Woods, ARK, A-R-K-F, was down 10% yesterday and approaches a record trading low. And she's still heavily invested. I mean, she owns Coinbase. She has Shopify in there. But I was just shocked when I looked at that yesterday. That thing is now under $1 billion in market cap. And I remember, I think I'm going to say February of 2021, she had about $65 billion under management. And as I do the quick math on her four or five funds, she's down around $12 billion from 65, 43, 53 billion have just disappeared. That's a lot of money.
Well, when Palantir got destroyed yesterday.
It's just every day, and that Coinbase is just getting slaughtered. Robinhood has been getting slaughtered. You know, these are stocks I could never figure out myself why anybody would be buying them at the risk levels. Well, you know, the chickens have come home to roost, I guess, here. That her ARK fund is now down 71%. This is ARK Financial, ARKF, from its high of over 1 year ago. Peloton, that's not one of hers, but Peloton was one of the darlings of the COVID-19 year. That thing has gone from 171 to 12. From 100. So how much fluff was there in that stock? And I could do that for many stocks. Teladoc, Shopify. I mean, the list goes on and on of how much fluff was in those stocks and how far they've come down since then. Peloton Interactive plunges after guidance disappoints on weakening subscriber growth. So who knows how low it goes. Does it go to zero? It's now a $4 billion company. At one time, Peloton was about a $50 billion company. A lot of billions disappearing here.
Yeah, and that's one of those stocks where, like, you know, it, great product, right? But doesn't mean it's a great stock, right?
I mean, no.
Or a great idea, you know, doesn't mean it's a great stock. I remember, I think it's in Benjamin's Graham book. He basically explains exactly the same thing. Just because, you know, something's a good idea, right, doesn't mean it's going to make money or be a great stock.
So. No. And, well, now, you know, here's a little for Bitcoin. President Nayib Bukele of El Salvador, a known Bitcoin trader, you know, he's the leader of the country.
He's going to make the Bitcoin mecca, remember?
Yes. He bought 500 more coins, of course, with the people's money, amid a crypto bloodbath, gets cut in half from its high in November 21. El Salvador, the first ever country to adopt the cryptocurrency as legal tender, has bought the dip again. He bought 500 more bitcoins at an average price of $30,700. He put $15 million down of taxpayer money to buy more bitcoin. El Salvador now owns 22,301 bitcoins at an average price of $44,000. So he's not doing real good with his investment there in Bitcoin. Now, here's the good news, okay? Several in a row here. Hyatt Hotels says they are seeing record leisure demand. And they're not the only ones. I mean, we've heard it from Marriott. We've heard it from several other of the big hotel chains. We've heard it from the cruise ship companies. We've heard it from the airlines. Hyatt Hotels sees the travel recovery roaring into summer. So that's good news there. There was another one, too. I think it was Norwegian Cruise Lines. They were talking about the demand right now is just off the charts. Okay, a few companies reporting earnings here today. Toyota production pauses due to Shanghai lockdown. That continues to hurt the automakers. And one last one here before we go to break. And GM, guess who's buying GM? Kathy Woods is buying GM. I think maybe she's stepping down the risk level a little bit, which kind of you see, after the
it
big...
It still fits, I guess, right? I mean, well, it fits within her prospectus because I guess she can tie it to the
innovation,
electric vehicle side of it, right? Yeah.
The EV side of it, which they have not produced on yet. You still can't park a Chevy Bolt in a downtown parking garage in Charleston because of the threat of
fire.
I never saw that with a Tesla. I know they had a few issues early on. All right, well, there's several jumping off the page for me today. We'll talk about that when we come back. We're surging right now. This is Bill, not the market. Our accounts are surging right now. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. One of the, I'm seeing buying in things that make total sense to me.
And, that's surprising.
Yes, and it's stuff that we've been high on all year and we continue to like and we continue to own. Before I get to the long, there's one new one, okay, that's been showing up on my radar. Let's begin with that one. We don't own this one. But, I've seen it. You remember the gas stations that have the dinosaurs on them? HF Sinclair Corporation.
Mm-hmm, Sinclair, yes. Now, I saw one recently, actually.
I don't know when this thing went public. I didn't have it in my database. Maybe they just changed their name. The symbol is Dino, D-I-N-O. And the name of the stock is HF Sinclair Corporation. And all of a sudden, it's on my A-plus momentum list. They are engaged in the production of high-value light petroleum products such as gasoline, diesel fuel, and jet fuel. That refining space has been a good space, and actually the whole gas space, gasoline space has been good. It's up another 6.2% today on 2x normal volume. The relative strength is 96. I use grades. It's an A-plus momentum grade, and the P-E ratio is 14. So you've got that favorable 96 high relative strength. And a pretty low P.E. ratio at 14. This is a small cap, $7.3 billion, and it's headquartered in Dallas, Texas. And the symbol is Dino, D-I-N-O. Okay, on the short side, I saw yesterday, or maybe last Friday, a lot of companies are getting out of the SPAC business. They're afraid. They should be. And I know Goldman Sachs announced that they're totally getting out of the SPAC business, which was really frothy. I think the SEC let a lot of stuff go under the bridge there that was not worthy, and it's going to come back to bite a lot of people in that SPAC space. Some of these SPACs haven't even found anything to buy yet. So anyways, we have an inverse. Did you know that somebody came up with an inverse SPAC ETF? Wow, that thing's hitting $55.62 today. We own it in our emerging growth portfolio as a hedge. And since we bought it, it's now up 61%. That's an inverse ETF. SOGU. S-O-G-U, which is short the SPAC space. The SPAC sector. And it has a relative strength of 99, and it's breaking out today. And I think, you know, the announcement by Goldman Sachs that, hey, we're out of the SPAC business. Let the lawsuits fly later, I guess. They don't want any more.
And it wasn't as profitable for them anyway.
No.
I mean, the old way, you know, that's why people were using SPACs to begin with, right? The old way of bringing a company public is much more profitable from an investment banking standpoint to Goldman Sachs. So it's not surprising that they're like, we're dropping this.
Well, you and I know who made money in the SPACs, in floating the SPACs. It was the people floating the SPACs, okay? Right. All of a sudden, all of these investors are giving them money. They're getting a big piece of the action, and they don't even have anything to buy with the money. I've even seen some of these SPACs liquidate. So you had the, you know, the sponsors of the SPAC make
it's money. Like a fundraiser, yeah. Essentially, they're raising funds to, hey, we'll let you know what we're going to buy later, but we may buy something like this.
So, well, okay, now let's go back. We're running out of time, but let's go back to 2021 and SPAC mania. I called it SPAC...
Speculation.
Speculation. It's exactly what it was. And I said, you know, when it reaches this fever pitch, when people are just throwing $100 million and $200 million at a SPAC, that's ridiculous. Something's got to give, and that just shows you how frothy the market was at that point. And look what's you know, happened since then. The SPACs have been clobbered. There was very few of the SPACs that actually turned into something good. Okay, so now on the other side, stocks we still like. Look at the Devon Energy today. Big buying coming into Devon Energy on big volume. That is back in that natural gas space. As far as I know, we haven't solved the problem in Europe with them getting off of Russian gas, and now they're all going to get off of it, even Japan. I mean, they're all going to boycott. The G7, the seven biggest economies in the world, are going to boycott Russian gas. So that's going to continue. Devon Energy has a relative strength of 99, the strongest as you can get. And then the last one would be also along the lines of Dino, which is Valero. Valero is a refiner, and basically the same kind of a model as Dino, where they have gas stations and they have a refining, and it has a relative strength of 98 and a PE of 18. It got whacked yesterday. And it's good to see that that's what there's where the dip buyers are today in areas that I just outlined. Okay, well, you know what? We're all out of time. What can I say? I'm not saying that the bottom is in here. I think it's still going to be very volatile, but you had a huge, huge sell-off. Even the baby went out yesterday with the bathwater. Now I'm seeing a lot of people get back into this stuff. That's kind of brought us to this point. Does that mean you go back in and you buy Teladoc and you buy Coinbase and Robinhood? No, you should have never bought those in the first place. And they're not even though they've come down as hard as they have, they're not much better today than they were back then. They're very, very speculative stocks that may never, ever make any money whatsoever in the way of profits. You can get the newsletter that I sent out with all those key technical support levels, the current valuation that we have on the S&P 500. That's where our focus remains. If you'd like to talk to us about your portfolio, if you feel like you're in all the wrong places at the wrong time, give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade.
Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.